Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're going to travel today. It's our all-English lecture, so no Chinese today, or no Japanese, Spanish, Russian, or Turkish, or whatever. But in any case, we are going to be talking about going to Canada, which is a country that speaks English along with French. And yes, you could go to Canada and actually enjoy some of their yummy food there, including maple syrup. Ooh, yummy, yummy. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
I love maple syrup. We'd put it on pancakes and waffles, breakfast food. It's really good, and I tend to not ever have enough maple syrup if I get pancakes at places like McDonald's or diners. They don't use as much syrup as I like.
Well, actually, I shouldn't name names here, but, you know, those fast food restaurants, The maple syrup that you get from them is probably not maple syrup at all. When I was growing up, I used to think I was having maple syrup on my pancakes until I checked the label of ingredients, and maple syrup, or at least pancake syrup in the United States, is mostly made from high fructose corn syrup, which is pretty bad for you. So you got to look for the real thing. And if it comes from Canada, if it's got a maple leaf on the bottle, then you're probably getting the real thing. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Maple syrup, a heavenly part of Canada's heritage.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our article right now. Snow clings to the trees as braided horses pull sleighs beneath their branches. Children's laughter and excited chatter fills the air. The children are on their way to the sugar shack, where they'll feast on the finest maple syrup delicacies known. Here, deep in the sugar maple forests of Canada, the trees are thick with sap, the sticky liquid responsible for the delectable treat. It's unclear how long the country of maple has been producing maple syrup. Oral traditions of Canada's indigenous people suggest that consumption began long before European settlers arrived in the region. By 1680, maple syrup was being harvested and sold for trade. It was a slow and arduous process, and it was only in the 20th century that maple farmers obtained efficient harvesting technology. Now, with more than 8,600 companies in the industry, Canada produces 80% of the world's maple syrup. The spirit of Victorian-era maple farms lives on in northeastern Canada. Every March, as the freezing overnight temperatures give way to sunny, warm days, maple farmers prepare for an influx of visitors to the maple syrup festivals. Knowledgeable guides impart to their guests the process of making the sweet, sticky treat. It begins with the trees themselves, from which the sap trickles into wooden buckets. Next, the visitors move on to the sugar shack, where hot syrup simmers over fires. The final stop is the best of all. Hot syrup is poured onto ice as visitors look on, eagerly anticipating the gooey taffy that forms as the syrup hardens. The festivals continue with pancake breakfasts, ice skating, winter games, and more, but it's the sweet syrup itself that really draws the crowds. With both a rich history and a myriad of syrups, candies, and cookies to feast on, Canada's maple syrup farms are certainly worth the trip.
Okay, guys, what's maple syrup? We've kind of described it being kind of a sweet liquid that you put on top of pancakes. And in my home growing up, we used it on our waffles as well. But it comes from a tree called a maple tree, and inside that trunk, there's liquid that magically comes out if you punch a hole into it. I didn't grow up in a place that had maple trees because I grew up in a hot area of the world. But I hear they're pretty beautiful. Did you have any maple trees?
Yes, certainly we did. I'm from the northern United States, which is getting close to Canada. So there are a number of maple trees where I grew up. But we didn't really produce maple syrup there, although the trees turn fiery red and orange and yellow in the fall. It's quite a sight to see.
Pretty.
But indeed, maple trees are needed if you want to get some maple syrup. And as Stephanie just said, they're very commonly used on pancakes and waffles and French toast and stuff like that.
Oh, French toast, yeah.
Probably for other kinds of foods as well. Well, let's go ahead and talk about maple syrup here. This is a heavenly part of Canada's heritage. Heritage just refers to all the things that a country has, and the country identifies itself with those things. It refers to the traditions and the history of a certain place. So if you think about Canadian heritage, yes, you'll think about maple syrup or ice hockey or Big Moose and things like that.
Well, let's describe the scene here. Snow clings to the trees as braided horses pull sleighs beneath their branches. Sort of a winter setting we're talking about here. We've got snow, which we saw a little bit in northern Taipei this past winter, which was fun. If something clings to something else, it just means it's holding on very tightly. You can also use it in more of a figurative way. Figuratively means not literal. So I could say, we had a fire in my building, and I could say, ooh, that smell of smoke clung to the walls for a long time afterwards. It was hard to get rid of it. If you've got braided horses, I'm not sure what braided horses mean.
Yeah, I'm imagining this, too, because I did not really grow up around horses, but they have what is called a mane on the back of their heads, which is like really long hair. And I guess it's decorative to actually braid all of that hair.
They braid their manes? Really?
I would imagine so. Wow. Yes, indeed. So These are very attractive horses. Some of those manes grow pretty long, actually.
Yeah, pretty long.
I think
long
they're,
hair.
They're actually a feature of horse shows.
Wow.
Their manes and how long the hair is and the braids and stuff.
Cool.
Well, these particular horses are pulling sleighs beneath the branches. It's lovely weather. It's for a sleigh ride together with you. That's a Christmas song. A sleigh, of course, is a kind of sled that people can actually sit in, and it's pulled over the snow, usually by horses. You could also probably use donkeys or oxen or things like that.
Well, children's laughter and excited chatter fills the air. So you can hear the sound of kids laughing and having fun. Chatter is just the noun version of the verb to chat. If you chat, you just talk. Talk and talk and talk. Chatter is also the noun. Kind of sounds like what you're hearing. Chatter. So that's fun. The children are on their way to the sugar shack. A shack is a kind of an... just a hastily put together shed or a building with pieces of wood. It's not really fancy, you could say, a sugar shack, where they'll feast on the finest maple syrup delicacies known. If you feast on something, it means you have plenty of whatever you're eating. And it feels like a feast where you just have food until you're going to die if you keep eating it. So they'll feast on the finest maple syrup delicacies known. A delicacy is some sort of special type of food. We've got lots of different delicacies in Taiwan or in Asia.
Sure.
One being shark fin soup is a delicacy. Usually it's considered to be very high quality, sometimes very expensive, but something that particular country or culture is proud of.
Don't encourage people to have shark fin soup. I know it's a tradition, but you're killing a bunch of sharks that way, and it's not really good for the environment. But in any case here, these kids are on the way to the sugar shack, which is also a slang term for a candy store, and they're going to feast on this wonderful maple syrup or these delicacies that are made from maple syrup. You can make candy and cookies and other things like that. Other kinds of treats or delicacies. And here, deep in the sugar maple forest of Canada, the trees are thick with sap, which is the sticky liquid responsible for the delectable treat. We're referring this to as sugar maple forests. There are different kinds of maple trees. I actually have maple trees here in Taiwan, but I don't believe they can produce sap or syrup. So these are special kinds of maples that produce maple syrup, sugar maples, and they have lots of forests in Canada. They are thick with sap. Sap here is like the fluid inside a plant. It's like the liquid. To me, it's kind of like the blood of a plant, even though it's not red, but it circulates inside a tree or a plant. And, of course, it's got lots of sugar in it as well.
Yeah, it's thicker than water. The consistency is a little thicker, and it's kind of sticky. even leaves. If you squeeze some leaves, you'll have this kind of weird liquid come out of them. That's sap. It's unclear how long the country of maple, that's what we're calling Canada, the country of maple, you'll see it's there, a symbol of Canada. You'll often see that maple leaf. They have been producing maple syrup for a long time, but we're not really sure how long they've actually been producing this wonderful thing called maple syrup. So oral traditions, stories that are passed down by word of mouth or from one person to another person, not through writing, but just through telling of stories and things like that. These are old traditions that go back to Canada's indigenous people. If you're indigenous to an area, it means you were originally there before other people came and settled the area. For example, we've got Native Americans who are indigenous to the continent there. Well, they've got indigenous people in Canada as well. They suggest that the consumption began long before European settlers arrived in the region. If you consume something, you take it in, you use it up. Doesn't necessarily have to be consumed by your body. You can consume different types of gas. Your car consumes gasoline. Your home uses up or consumes a lot of energy, probably for electricity that you use. But consumption is the noun form of the verb to consume.
Indeed. So nowadays, I think we probably need to reduce our energy consumption, for example, to help save the planet, or our water consumption, because water is a precious resource. And in any case here, the oral tradition suggests that the First Nations people in Canada were consuming maple syrup long before the Europeans came to this area. And that's about where we're going to take a little bit of a break, everybody. We're going to stop talking right now and, again, take a little bit of a break. But please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, let's continue with our discussion of maple syrup, which, of course, is part of Canada's heritage. And we were talking about the fact that kids love this stuff. They head to the sugar shack. They'll have some maple syrup delicacies. And we also talked about the fact that maple syrup has been consumed by people in Canada for quite some time. It was eaten or consumed by indigenous people there before the Europeans came to settle there. Now, by the year 1680, maple syrup was being harvested and sold for trade. If you take something out of the land, like plants or grains or things like that, you are harvesting those things. So they harvested the maple syrup from the trees, and they started to sell them for trade. Here, I'll give you a gallon of maple syrup if you give me, say, 20 pounds of corn.
It's a good example of how trade works. Long ago, people didn't have money. They didn't have those bills in their pockets or the coins that we use today, or even ATMs, for that matter. So they would trade different things that they had produced or made. And it was kind of a bartering process. B-A-R-T-E-R is another word for trade. And they'd say, what I have is worth what you have, maybe twice what you have. So they would trade back then, and one of the things that was popular, of course, was this maple syrup. We're not the only ones, modern day people is what I'm talking about. We're not the only ones who like sweet things. People like sweet things. They liked them long ago. So by 1680, that was a long time ago, they were actually harvesting and selling this maple syrup. It says it was a slow and arduous process. Ooh. I see that word arduous and I think, I want to avoid whatever they're talking about. Arduous means a lot of hard work. And usually it's a long, slow thing that you're doing. And it takes a lot of muscle power, sweat, brain power. It's just hard.
Yeah, I could say that climbing Yushan or Jade Mountain in Taiwan can be a very arduous process or an arduous journey. It certainly takes a lot of energy to climb to the top of Mount Yu or Yushan or Mount Jade, I guess we'd call it in English. And yes, indeed, producing maple syrup took a long time and it took a lot of work. And it was only in the 20th century, which would be the 1900s, that maple farmers obtained efficient harvesting technology. If you obtain something, you basically get that thing. Usually it's some kind of special skills, or in this case, they obtained the technology. Maybe special kinds of machines that suck the sap right out of the tree, and you don't have to go out there waiting for it to drop by drop, sitting out there in the freezing cold. In Canada, of course, you know it's winter all the time.
Well, they're really producing quite a bit these days because they have more than 8,600 companies in the industry. This industry we're talking about is the maple syrup industry, and Canada produces 80% of the world's maple syrup. I wonder who produces the other 20%. I'm thinking America.
Maybe. America certainly does have some maple trees.
Oh, yeah, like Vermont and New Hampshire.
Yeah, I'm thinking I seem to have seen some maple syrup from
Vermont.
The Northeast. Yeah, Vermont,
definitely.
Maybe New Hampshire, maybe Maine or something. But, hey, that pales in comparison to the amount of maple syrup that is produced in the Great White North.
True.
So, indeed, they produce quite a lot of the world's maple syrup. And here in the next paragraph it says, the spirit of Victorian-era maple farms lives on in northeastern Canada. So if you're talking about the Victorian era, that's the 1800s, and I guess that's when this industry really came of age in Canada. And this is in northeastern Canada, which would, I assume, include like Nova Scotia, Quebec, New Brunswick, some of those provinces up in the northeast of Canada. They probably produce quite a bit of maple syrup there compared to the rest of Canada.
So every March, as the freezing overnight temperatures give way to sunny warm days, maple farmers prepare for an influx of visitors to their area. They've got lots of festivals that go on at that point in time. If you give way, it means you let something else come in. For example, if you're on a highway or even if you're on a regular road and someone's trying to get into traffic, if you give way, you kind of wait for them to get ahead of you and go. So what we're saying is in March, you know, those cold temperatures, they hold back and they let those warm, sunny days come in. And everybody's happy at that point because we like warmer weather, of course. And in Canada, it's cold. I know people here in Taiwan think our winters here are cold. They're nothing compared to Canadian winters.
Well, that's true. I was joking earlier that it's winter all the time in Canada. Actually, it's not. Their winters are longer. They actually have some very pleasant summers there.
Hey, it can get hot in the summer. I've been up there in the summer.
It certainly can. And indeed, these freezing overnight temperatures give way or are replaced by sunny, warm days. And the maple farmers prepare for an influx of visitors to the Maple Syrup Festival. So an influx here just means an arrival of a large number of something or a large number of things. For example, Germany received a large influx of refugees last year. They probably are still receiving that influx of refugees as we speak.
So they've got a lot of visitors there, and of course if you have people who are there to see your country or your city, and they're not familiar with the area, they need tour guides. So we've got some knowledgeable guides, people who know the area, and they know all about the industry. They're there to impart to their guests the process of making this sweet, sticky treat. If you impart something, guys, it means you share or tell somebody something you know. So they take them on a tour and tell them how it all works. I would actually love to go on one of these tours. I've never gone before.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Indeed, I would enjoy that myself.
So plus, you get to eat.
Yeah, except the problem is it's kind of sweet stuff, which makes you fat.
But I guess you
have to be careful there. But, you can be good to yourself every now and then. So, yes, these guides impart knowledge to their guests about the process of making the sweet, sticky treat. And here's the process itself. It begins with the trees themselves, from which the sap trickles into wooden buckets. Here we have the word trickle, which means tons of a fluid. It flows in very small amounts, like maybe drop by drop or just a very small amount. You might have water trickling from your faucet if you're trying to, say, wash dishes or something like that and you don't want to use a lot of water. But here, yes, that sap just kind of goes into those buckets very, very slowly. It's not like turning on a faucet.
No, and sometimes you have a leak on your faucet. So even though you think you've turned it off, sometimes it's drip, drip, drip. It's trickling down. Or during the summer, if you're sweating, the sweat will trickle down your forehead. Ugh.
That's happening soon. Yeah, it's going to be pretty hot.
Let's not talk
soon.
About that. Let's go back to the snow. So here we've got the visitors moving on to the Sugar Shack, where hot syrup simmers over fires. We've got several different fires where they're cooking up that syrup. That's how you make it, because you mix it in with other things. But if you're simmering something, this is a verb. It just means you've got something on the fire or your stove, not the oven, the stove, on the stovetop, and it stays just below the boiling point where the bubbles come up. So sometimes you'll put the fire on high or your stove on high, and then once it gets high, you turn it down to where it's simmering for a while.
Yeah, when I cook oatmeal, I bring the water to a boil. Uh-huh. I put the oatmeal in, and then I simmer it for about 10 minutes. Now, the final stop is the best of all during our maple syrup tour here. It's the final stop here. Hot syrup is poured onto ice as visitors look on, eagerly anticipating the gooey taffy that forms as the syrup hardens. And if you anticipate something, you wait with great excitement for something to happen, to anticipate something from happening. Here they're looking at this, and it probably takes quite a lot of time because that maple syrup is kind of gooey. It's very thick, so it takes a while for this syrup to drip down onto the ice, and then it will congeal or coagulate into something harder.
Interesting. So you're seeing the whole process, which is kind of fun. You see it from the tree to the actual form that you can eat. And it sounds like they have different things in the Sugar Shack for those visitors to munch on, to taste. So if you're anticipating something, wow, are you excited? One of the things I always anticipate or look forward to is Christmas, Thanksgiving, Chinese New Year. Because what do all these things have in common? Days off.
Yeah.
Where we don't have to go to work. We all love that stuff. Plus, there's just a good feeling around it. Well, these visitors, of course, are eagerly or very excitedly anticipating the gooey taffy that forms as the syrup hardens. So gooey means it's really sticky, but it's a thick stickiness. And taffy is a type of candy that, how would we describe taffy? We don't have a lot of taffy in Taiwan. It's very soft, but it's not liquid. It's thicker than liquid, but you can chew into it, but it's very chewy as well. It's very tasty.
I guess it's made with butter and sugar.
Uh-huh.
When I had taffy when I was a kid, it was usually kind of long and flat, and it came in little packages.
Oh, they have little pieces, too, that you can buy like that.
Yeah, there are different forms of it, but yes, suffice to say,
it's good.
The taffy is tasty, and it's a kind of candy that can be made from maple syrup.
Different flavors.
Sure.
You could have peppermint, chocolate, caramel, different types of flavors for that. So it forms or turns into this gooey taffy, and that forms as the syrup hardens. Again, syrup starts out as a liquid, and then it progressively changes into a more gooey, chewy form. We're going to move on to the festivals here. Notice that the guides not only take them through the process, but then they are introduced to the festivals there in Canada, which are fun. These continue with pancake breakfasts. So you have a lot of people gathering together and pancake stands, just like they have stands out in Taiwan where you can buy dinner, lunch, breakfast, different things. They have stands where people are making their own pancakes and you can queue up or line up for those pancakes. That sounds so good. Now, remember, we're in Canada in the winter, so there's going to be ice skating available outside. They can ice skate outside because it's so cold that the ice freezes. Here we have to ice skate indoors because we have to control the temperature. And there are also winter games and more that you can participate in. But it's the sweet syrup itself that really draws the crowds.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
But, of course, these festivals take place in various locations in Canada. You probably should check the internet for which specific places are offering these festivals and when they occur. And, yes, indeed, if it's still wintertime, maybe into March, maybe a little bit into April, you could probably do some ice skating. But after that, it's going to be too warm for the ice to stay frozen on the ground. But indeed, you can enjoy ice skating and winter games like playing hockey or going skiing or doing some curling or whatever. And there, of course, are more activities. But as we just said, the sweet syrup, maple syrup, is what really attracts or draws those crowds of people. And with both a rich history and a myriad of syrups, candies, and cookies to feast on, Canada's maple syrup farms are certainly worth the trip. So, indeed, we've got a myriad of syrups, okay? If you have a myriad of something, that just means you have a very large amount of something. You have so many things that you simply cannot count them all.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a point because I ran into this word as I was editing some English here in Taiwan.
Okay.
This is accountable word. It's a countable adjective. Sometimes you'll see myriad used singular form, but only in poetry. And I'm just going to say here for you guys and your use, always remember it's countable. So it needs a myriad of syrups or myriads of syrups, but you can't say myriad syrups. Oh, that's what I saw the other day.
Sounds weird,
it's wrong. Yep. So you've got a lot of different types, countless types of syrups, you could say. They do make maple cookies, which are really good, in case you haven't had them. It's hard to find maple cookies over on this side of the world. But if you get a chance to go to northeastern Canada in particular, even in the summer, you'll run into some great maple syrup, won't you?
Yeah, and I've certainly eaten some maple cookies here. I have, because a number of Canadians that I know here in Taiwan, when they go back home, they bring back treats for people here, and most often they bring back maple cookies.
They're good.
I think they're probably available in the airports in Canada.
They might be a little too sweet for the Taiwanese.
Could be, but I've never heard anybody complain about
those.
Good. They are very special treats indeed. I'm going to give a hint out there to my Canadian friends, though.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try Nanaimo bars, but I've never had them, and
the
I don't know where
bar?
To get them. It's a kind of bar that's from Nanaimo, which is in or on Victoria Island, or Vancouver Island, I should say.
Oh, that's on the western side of Canada.
Yeah, we're talking about the other side of the country, but I would certainly love to try some of those, along with the maple candies and cookies and stuff like that. So there is a myriad, of course, of these different kinds of treats to feast on, and if you go to Canada, they will certainly make your trip worthwhile to not only get those treats, but to attend those maple syrup festivals as well.
It's a wonderful part of the world. We love Canada and our friends there.
We do.
We do. Okay, right now we are going to, I think, sign off, Tom, because there is no Chinese teacher today.
There isn't, so we're just going to sign off directly. And as soon as we sign off, we're heading down to our travel agent and booking our tickets to Canada check out those maple syrup festivals. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.